Hey, I'm Dave Heller, the owner of the Quad Cities River Bandits, and I want to invite you to Modern Woodman Park, the friendliest ballpark in America. We're not only friendly to our fans, we're also friendly to our four-legged friends. Every Sunday is Bark in the Park, where we invite you to bring your dog to the game for free. And Wednesday's a We Care Wednesday, where we'll be raising funds for local charities. This year, we're spotlighting animal shelters and humane societies. You know, Dave and Darren have also been referred to as man's best friends. You know, that's not really true. No one's ever said that. Why would they? Dave and Darren have no dog-like redeeming qualities, and frankly speaking, they can be quite catty. Meow. Listen to today's podcast. You'll find out for yourself. Enjoy.
Hello there.
This is Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things, a Nacho Radio production.
Oh, aren't we a pair?
Hello there!
So, my phone on Friday morning is going crazy.
Okay.
I'm getting alerts, text alerts like nobody's business on my phone. It's Friday morning. I'm like, what's going on here?
Yeah, what's happening?
What's the deal here? Jack. All these other places are going out of business. You're still around. What's going on? What's the deal here? Apparently, Bob and Tom have been doing a bit in the last couple of days.
Oh, yeah. Marty, it's not really Bob and Tom,
well, no,
by the way.
Because one of them quit 2 years ago.
Yes.
But they keep the name. Now if I know
Steely Dan.
We've had this conversation before, but if one of us were to quit, we wouldn't still go by Dave and Darren.
Well, you wouldn't think so, even if you replace somebody with Tom.
Right, even if I got
it's Dave and Tom, but we're going to still call it Dave and Darren.
Right. If I had my other friend whose name is Darren do a podcast with me,
then that might make some sense.
I wouldn't call it Dave and Darren because Dave and Darren is the brand of you and me.
Well, that's not what they're thinking.
Well, yeah. Well,
that's,
I mean, but then again,
listen,
we can sit here and take shots at Bob and Tom. They're on 400 different stations.
Yeah.
But I get this, you know, and I got to be careful cuz they're part of my family now. But I got to say this. Apparently, they've been doing this new bit now on the last show or two that they just think is hilarious.
And?
It's them dissecting Marty Allen going, hello there.
Well, it's quite appealing.
Hello there.
But come on, Marty Allen? That's oddly specific that they would get there.
Three months after us. Listen. It happens all the time. It always has.
You got a better attitude about it than I do.
It's always happened. I'm sure it'll continue to happen. I did like the photo, though, by the way, that you sent to me.
Well, that was just for you, yes.
Marty Allen dancing with Betty Ford, and my response was,
it looks like she's still drinking back then.
That was when she was still drinking.
Yeah, there's a picture I found online of Marty Allen and Betty Ford, and they are cutting a rug.
They certainly are.
Just having the time of their lives. And yeah, was she still drinking in the White House?
Oh,
or did she
so.
Get treatment? Did she dry out after the White House?
Could be. Or maybe, she wasn't in the White House that long, was she?
3 years. 73 to...
No, 74. Late August of 74 until January of 77.
Oh, really? Okay.
So there was time to have some drinks, sure, and do a little...
Well, and the thing is...
Boogie with Marty Allen.
I imagine Nixon had to leave a lot of booze at the White House, because Nixon was drinking pretty heavily there towards the end.
And he had to make a quick run.
And
he didn't know where it was all stashed.
Well, I mean...
I forgot. I left stuff behind.
Look, I did that myself in my younger days. I'd buy booze when I already had a lot of booze in the house. You know, it gets away from you. I need to get this beer. And then you come home and you're like, my fridge is just full of beer.
Yeah, but that's not a bad problem.
Well, I mean, you know what? It wasn't a bad problem when I was a 23-year-old guy. If I was president of these United States, it might be more of an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Say what you want about the current president. Not an alcoholic.
Although, do you know that?
I do.
Do you know that? Why? How do you know that?
Well, it's been rumors he's a pillhead, but I don't think that's true. But maybe.
It's enough. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. I talk about him enough all day. Let's focus on Marty Allen and Bob and Tom potentially ripping us off. You think it's just they got to the same place
that
we got?
Very whimsical.
And I guess they were
even
playing the Almond Joy commercial where the guy goes, "Hello there." They're like, "Oh my God, it's Marty Allen."
I would take umbrage if our listeners would start calling them and going, "Hello there." That I wouldn't care for.
Well, you know, that's the other thing, though. I only know about this because I'm not listening to Bob and Tom. Yeah. I'm doing my own
Somebody
thing.
Somebody is, though, huh?
It was more than one person cueing me in that Bob and Tom were ripping us off. So we share audience with Bob and Tom.
Hello there! Yeah,
I think we kind of always did.
Yeah, I guess that's... Maybe that was the problem.
Maybe that was the problem.
All right. Well, we've got a great podcast that's not Marty Allen-centered for you today, and I'd like to just get right into it.
Let's do that. The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast brought to you by the Orpheum Theater on May 17th. Let me do the math on that one. That would be Thursday.
That's Thursday, friend.
That's Thursday. The Orpheum Theater is going to announce their Throwback Thursday free summer movie series and offer a free showing of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. June 7th, a kids-friendly double feature, a B-movie, and the Monarch Butterfly Story. Saturday, June 16th, the Dancer Studio presents Alice in Wonderland. Tickets are available for all of those shows, including, if you're a country music fan, country music icon John Conley is coming Tuesday, July 17th, to the Orpheum. Those tickets are available at galesburgorpheum.org, by phone at 309-342-2299, or at the Orpheum Theater box office. They serve wine and beer, including Iron Spike Brews. The Orpheum Theater also available for private events, including weddings and movie rentals. The Orpheum Theater in Galesburg, lean forward, engage, and be entertained. If you'd like to reach out with any sort of Marty Allen alerts that we need, please use...
Who else is ripping us off?
Use the Uncle Norm's Fireworks text line, 470-23-NACHO. Uncle Norm's Fireworks, two stores opening in June, one in Milan and one in Davenport. Appointments for purchase are always available by using one of two numbers, 563-349-2398 or 563-320-0897. The Davenport store is going to be located at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds, and they are planning on opening on June 13th. And then the Milan store, located just south of Milan on Route 67, that's going to be opening on June 1st. So we are just a couple of weeks away. Visit them at their Facebook page or at UncleNormsFireworks.com. The podcast, as it always is originating from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio, home of the Quad City's best cheesesteak and so much more, including their chicken cheesesteak, premium grilled chicken, and melted provolone cheese, fried onions with hot or sweet peppers. Absolutely delicious. Get one today and save yourself some money doing so. Mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one at Capriati's. Extraordinary food for those unwilling to settle.
Number one.
Wonder how my papers got wet.
They're working on a hangover pill. And they say tests on drunk mice show promise.
Beer mice?
That's right. You know, being a lab mouse probably sucks.
Being a beer mouse, however, does not.
Right? I mean, is that just a matter of good karma? You come back as a beer mouse? All right, we're going to test cancer drugs on these
kind
mice.
Kind of a beer mouse now. I mean, somebody or something is making all those empty cans appear. It couldn't possibly be just me. It has to be the beer mice.
Between 8 and 10% of emergency room visits in these United States are due to acute alcohol poisoning. Alcohol also the leading risk factor for premature deaths and disability, people between the ages of 15 and 49. Its abuse leads to a myriad of serious health problems, including liver cancer and cardiovascular issues. The treatments that we have for alcohol right now just basically depend on the body's own enzymes to break things down.
Bring it down.
So the idea is we need to create an antidote.
Well, that sounds like it's more than a hangover pill.
Yes. Well, but you could... The point of it is, it gets rid of the alcohol in your system faster than your body can do it ordinarily.
Okay.
So you would... I mean, that's... You get rid of it. You flush all the alcohol out.
But does
you're
it
good
leave,
to go.
Does it leave behind the remnants of the pill in your organs?
Well, listen. Nothing for nothing. They say they're inspired by the body's approach by breaking Billy down pressed. Alcohol... And they chose the natural three different natural enzymes that convert alcohol into harmless molecules that are then excreted. It's a lot harder than it sounds, but they say that they've done this And they've been able to show that in inebriated mice, which fall asleep much faster than drunk humans, by the way. I imagine this is the Vern Troyer principle. It takes them a lot less, you know.
Well, even a mouse, yeah, even a mouse couldn't drink what Vern Troyer can drink. Even if it's a heavy drinking mouse.
They showed decreased blood alcohol level by 45% in just 4 hours compared to the mice that didn't get any of this this antidote. So a hangover pill or, you know, I guess...
A flush, more of an alcohol flush is what it is.
Yeah. You probably don't want to depend on this, but it wouldn't be bad to have. It wouldn't be bad having. You know what? I would buy stock in this company every, like, December 26th.
Do you think there's going to be a spike?
Oh, yeah. And then sell.
Sell, sell,
around,
sell, sell.
Sell around January.
Sell my pumpkin futures.
Two.
See, the way I've made I've made my fortune, I know you're into Bitcoin, but when I play the stocks, my secret is I buy low, and then I sell when it gets high.
You sell high?
Yeah, that's
what I can't believe I sold those pumpkin futures on October 1st.
Remember something Trevor Rayburn told me once. He said, Dave, aim high, shoot low.
From Big Generator?
Damn right. Very underrated record. I was listening the other day. I had the satellite radio on. And by the way, I'll point this out to you. And I know you won't do anything with it. But I think if you have a satellite radio, it's on for free until Memorial Day. I think they turned them all on. So you can check out, I think whatever you'd like, you Deep like. Tracks, which tends to play a lot of like Todd Rundgren and stuff.
Yes, I would.
Channel
like that.
27 is basically Darren Pitra FM. You might love
Channel
it to the
27.
Yeah,
say.
It's called Deep Tracks,
and
it's right up your alley.
And then they're going to want money.
Well, eventually, but you can have it now. I'll give them a plug because it's. I think you'd like 27. Okay. I listen to that a lot, and I think, oh boy, it's like Darren's program in the station. Anyway, they had on Holy Water from Bad Company. Remember when they got rid of Paul Rogers?
Yes.
And now here's the thing. I rather like that iteration of Bad Company.
The Brian Howe thing?
Yes. Now, let me explain myself.
Now, I've heard.
Yes.
From people in the know.
Yes.
He's a difficult guy to get along with.
I don't understand how you could be
I don't know how
the replacement singer for Bad Company and not just be a grateful son of a gun.
And be so full of yourself.
Right. You didn't write any of the 10 from 6 stuff, man.
No, but he would have had his hand in the Holy Water stuff.
Okay, and the Holy Water stuff is great, but nobody is calling the classic rock
no
stations.
No one goes out of their mind probably when Bad Company performs now with Paul Rogers and they don't do Holy Water.
They had a couple of hits that were...
Had some hits?
That were big hits, If You Needed Somebody.
Yes.
That was. Is that probably their biggest hit as Brian Howe's Bad Company?
Probably.
Dangerous Age was a good record. Yeah, Holy Water, I liked. Just I thought they were just fine. And the thing is, where I lived in the burbs, when the World Music Theater opened, picture it, summer of 1990. You could go to a show. I mean, I could hear it in my backyard. Not enough to know what music they were playing, but I could tell there was a concert and you could see the lights. And, you know, it would be like, hey...
Which is not really the same as being at a concert.
No, but you could get in, you could get lawn seats for like $8. So like,
some shows you could.
Yeah, no, and like my, you know, it would be like my little brother. I'd be like, hey, Yes is in town. We got $20, let's go see Yes.
We don't know who they are, but let's go.
Oh, we knew who Yes was. So Bad Company, we went and saw that. And I enjoyed those records just fine.
All right.
And at the end of the show...
Oh, yes, I remember this.
At the end of the show, Brian Howe...
When he let everybody know...
He gets on, and it was a decent enough show, and you know, like I was still kind of new to
somewhat naive.
Yeah, I didn't know a lot about how live concerts went down,
how the world worked.
Yes, there was a lot of it that I didn't quite understand.
And you took things at face value.
Well, to the point that when they were doing the Paul Rogers stuff, I was like, how are they getting away with this? Like, this must be a special night.
What?
I would assume like they wouldn't be able to
well,
sing
the other
those songs.
Guy, the other guys in the band were there.
What do I know? I'm 16, 17 years old. I don't know. What do I know? I don't know these things. So at the end of the show, it's all said and done. Brian Howe and it was a decent enough show.
Sure.
I mean, I was certainly impressed.
Suburban Chicago,
right? Kept me off the streets for a couple hours. Brian Howe at the end of the show goes, "Thank you, Chicago. You've been the best night of the whole effing tour." And I was like, you know what?
We were great.
This was a great night. The energy we gave you, you received it, and you just rocked out, man. And it was great. And I thought it was a singularly incredible concert experience.
Sure.
Fast forward a couple months later, Bad Company is playing the Five Flag Center in Dubuque, Iowa. It's my freshman year at Loras College. I'm like, holy water tour. I'm there. These guys are amazing.
They're friends of mine.
And the show is not good. It's not a great facility for music. The crowd is...
The gymnasium is essentially is what it is.
Yeah, yeah, you're not wrong about that. The crowd's not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. I'm just thinking, oh, this is a real letdown from what happened four months ago in Chicago.
Which was the greatest show of the tour.
Right. And the show ends, and Brian Howe gets on the microphone, and he says, thank you, Dubuque! You've been the best night of the whole effing tour! And I was devastated, like, wait a minute! He probably just says that to everybody!
You got lied to in Chicago.
What we had meant nothing to this guy.
No, it wasn't real.
It wasn't real. He looked me right in the face and told me he loved me. Uh-huh. So when we went on that second date, I'm like, all right, maybe
this goes somewhere.
You know what?
Maybe I become a big Bad Company fan.
Maybe I'm done with REM. Maybe I just become all about Bad Company for the next 30 years.
Uh-huh. Didn't happen.
No, not after that. It's like, screw this guy. Anyway, Holy Water is on, and I don't know how I got started on the Holy Water jag.
I guess you got started with just the idea that you heard Holy Water.
I did, too.
Apparently, that was the jag.
It was something else.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast is brought to you by the East Moline Coffee Company, 3537 Archer Drive in East Moline, just north of United Township High School. How about this? Cool off with one of your favorite iced lattes. You need to remember this, that your favorite hot lattes can be served iced. So do that this summer. Also enjoy an all-natural fruit smoothie with or without protein. Try a super tasty protein puck packed full of fruits and nuts. A great way to start the day. Gourmet hot, iced, and frozen beverages, as well as whole bean coffee and loose leaf tea. Biscotti, breakfast cookies, all-natural oatmeals, muffins, and more. The East Moline Coffee Company. Join the loyalty rewards and check them out at eastmocoffee.com. The podcast also brought to you by our fine patrons on Podbean. I noticed it looked like there was a little uptick in some of our patrons, so we'll have to take a look at that. We might have to have some sort of timpani here maybe sometime this week.
Good to know.
Worth knowing. As well as everyone who shops Amazon.com by using the link at nachoradio.com. If you'd like to reach out to us, use the Uncle Norm's Fireworks text line, 470-23-NACHO. Uncle Norm's has the largest selection, and their inventory includes quality products from quality distributors, including Black Cat, World Class Brand, Showtime, and more. And here's the deal. This is all guaranteed. All of Uncle Norm's fireworks are 100% guaranteed. If it fails, they'll replace it. Nobody else does that. Visit them at Uncle Norm's Fireworks, the Facebook page, or UncleNormsFireworks.com. And again, remember, two locations coming to the Quad Cities very, very soon, June 13th at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds. And also the Milan store is opening on June 1st.
This is episode number 726 of Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. And I just want to say a special shout out to everyone who's listening to this particular episode.
Okay.
You have been the best podcast audience.
Of the whole podcast.
Of all
experience.
Of it. Those of you that are listening right now, you're the best listeners we've ever had.
Two.
Supreme Court this morning opens the door for legalized sports betting. They're going to have sports books.
So you would
think
every state would adopt that, right?
You're daring. Well, there's an argument against it in that it's not very profitable on a smaller scale. The idea of a sports book is half the people win, half the people lose, and you make the money off of a percentage of the winnings.
Yeah.
If you're doing a sports book right, that's how it works. Also, I think a casino has a sports book because it brings people in, and then they maybe play a couple games at the tables when they place their bets.
Sure.
So it's, you know, it depends on the scenario. I will say this from researching this for a long time now. My gut tells me, and the research I've done, you're going to see these books all over Wisconsin before you see them anywhere in the Midwest.
Okay.
I think Iowa and Illinois are kind of taking
they're going to drag their feet a little
about
bit.
This. It's ridiculous that we don't have an OTB in this town, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
So maybe we get a sports book. I know this. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. It's finally happening.
Got plenty of casinos. You would think it'd be easy enough to have a small one there.
The Supreme Court this morning cleared the way for states to legalize sports books, striking down a 1992 federal law that prohibited most states from having authorized sports betting. It's a 6-3 ruling, a victory for New Jersey and other states. And I'll say it, a victory for freedom. So, yeah, you'll be able to bet legally.
I lost my ass.
On college games, the NFL, NBA, MLB, all of it. You'll be able to go and bet money Stock prices, by the way, for Caesars and DraftKings through the roof because they're going to enter the sports
book. DraftKings are publicly traded, huh?
Yes, sir, they sure are. Mm. Yeah, so this arbitrary ban on sports betting that Congress imposed in 1992, it's gone. And yes, damn right.
Did you see? Now,
Pitbull was on Family Guy last night. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
That was great stuff.
You've been to what, one Sox game this year?
I haven't been to a game
yet. Oh, you haven't been to any of them?
No, I'm going in June.
I think I know the one you need to go to.
Oh, what's is it Hawk Harrelson Han Solo night?
Yes.
Yeah, I have an event that night keeping me out of the
park. Oh, brother. Is there any way you can get your hands on one of those? I suppose on eBay, right?
Three.
I saw that and thought, oh, my God. You know, seven worlds collide.
Yeah, yeah.
So that would be just, like, perfect for you.
Mercy. A story here of a pet dog raised by a Chinese family. They raised it for 2 years until they discovered after 2 years that that dog...
Uh-huh.
It's not a dog.
That's no dog.
No, it's a black bear. When
no one in the family could figure that out, huh?
2 years, Darren!
2 years.
2 years!
Boy, this dog is getting big.
When Su Yun brought her family a puppy 2 years ago...
I remember my grandmother, toward the end of her life, had a cat named Scruffy.
Mm-hmm.
She was not convinced that that was a cat.
Well, there
it's like, is that a cat or is that a dog?
There's a family here in the States that got attacked by bobcats that they adopted that they thought were kittens.
Uh-huh. That makes a little more sense. Not a lot.
Su Yun brought this puppy home 2 years ago. She was surprised by how much the dog ate. A box of fruits and two buckets of noodles every day, she told the Chinese media.
It's a hungry dog.
Yeah, when your dog is 250 pounds, that's not a dog. They realized they made a mistake when the dog didn't stop growing.
They didn't get mauled, right?
And started showing a talent for walking on two legs.
Uh-huh.
Well, why would the dog... I'm calling it a dog. Why would the bear maul it? Won't maul them if it's getting a box of fruit and two buckets of noodles every
day.
True,
you're providing me with that.
The more he grew, the more like a bear he looked, she says.
Well, there's a reason for that.
She also adds, by the way, I'm a little scared of bears.
Just a little scared?
Well, imagine being terrified of something and then being
told... They realize you've been living with it for 2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years you lived with a bear. Oh, I'm a little frightened of bears. Are you? Because your dog is actually a bear. I guess I'm not afraid of bears anymore.
I guess I got over that phobia.
Cured that in a hurry.
It's not necessarily a phobia to be afraid of bears, is it?
No, that's just instinct.
That's right.
That's human instinct. If you're
not
afraid
of... That's not a phobia.
No. Phobias are things that are unreasonable.
Uh-huh.
Right? I'm afraid of the number 13.
Yes.
I'm afraid of heights. I'm afraid of, you know, bugs.
Is being afraid of heights even that unreasonable?
Yeah, because it's like we're in a tall building. You're not going to
fall. Well, that's different. I'm not talking about a tall building. I'm talking about dangling from a scaffold. See,
that's not being afraid of heights. When your parachute doesn't open, that's not, I got a fear of heights now.
I just developed a fear of heights.
Real quick. The animal was taken to a wildlife rescue center after the family reached out and asked for help.
Someone was mentioning that the other day. They asked me for whatever reason if I was afraid of if I was claustrophobic, and I thought and said, "Well," he was like, "If we got stuck in this elevator," I'm like, "No, I'd be fine with that."
Yeah,
but there are scenarios that I could be quite claustrophobic.
Yeah,
like if I'm stuck head first in the chimney and my arms are by my side.
Yeah, being buried alive is something... That doesn't mean you're claustrophobic if you don't want to be buried alive.
Right?
Yeah,
so... And that's what he even said. He goes, I suppose at that point everyone would be kind of
That's not claustrophobic. That's just instincts taking over. Right. Like, you're not afraid of fires when your house is burning down. Like, I'm scared of these things.
Yeah,
You're right to run out of the house.
But I wouldn't freak out. Yeah, I don't freak out if there's, you know, you're at a camp out and someone starts a campfire.
There you go. That
would be fine.
Pyrophobia. Def Leppard's worst record.
Four.
Just this side of slang.
Slang's not bad.
I know it, but I like to bring it up because you always like to defend slang.
It's just as Def Leppard records go, it's not bad. There's worse. Oh, number four.
Bum, bum, bum.
Oh, boy. This has got to hurt you.
And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust.
Because you like him crazy.
He's going to get you, too. Another one bites the dust.
Hand to God, one of my first crushes of all time. Like, it goes Linda Carter and Batgirl and then Lois Lane. Margot Kidder.
Yeah, how about it?
Margot Kidder has...
How old was she?
...passed away. Well, you asked that question, Darren. Mm. Margot Kidder passed away at the age of...
What?
69, dudes!
Wonder how many times she was found sitting in a bird bath.
Well, that happened once. She
Are
had
you
a...
sure it's just once?
Yeah, I was just reading a big article about her a couple of weeks ago. And she had bipolar disorder and a bunch of other things going wrong with her.
Yeah.
She decided to stop taking the medication for it and just try to fix things with vitamins.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't know that they recommend that.
Multivitamins.
It's not the best. Yes, Lois Lane, that's what the world knew her as. But here in the Quad Cities, she'll always be Mrs. Franklin, Vice President in Charge of Loans at the Franklin National Bank in Chicago, Illinois.
Mm.
Fred Garvin.
Yeah,
male prostitutes. Yeah, Margot Kidder dead at the age of 69.
You never knew if you'd look out your window and she'd be hiding in your bushes.
That happened once.
I think it was more than once.
I think she did. She like pull her teeth out of her head too.
He might have.
Like when she had her episode.
Yeah, things got away from her.
Oh,
too
yeah.
bad.
Oh no. Yeah. No. She's
Raji.
Yeah. Well. that does something for Larry, I guess, huh?
Five. Sanity loves company.
Yeah, I love Margot Kidder.
Yeah,
loved her. Just loved her. And yeah, when I found out she was crazy, I thought, boy.
That's even better.
I can't quit you, Margot Kidder. Finally, number five. This story comes to us from Wausau, Wisconsin, over by Dare.
Uh-huh.
Thieves stole a statue of the Virgin Mary in the cover of darkness. And they were caught due to an unlikely clue that they left behind. This happened at St. Mary's Catholic Church there in Wausau. According to the police, they discovered a half-eaten corn dog.
You're not going to finish a corn dog? They're delicious. Who eats half a corn dog?
According to police, they were able to discover this corn dog at the scene. And they were able to determine that
How many times have you not finished a corn dog?
In my life?
Yes.
Zero times.
Exactly. Exactly. Zero times.
How many times have I been like, that's enough of this corn dog?
Never.
I've been sick on corn dogs.
And will continue
like,
to finish it.
I've made one corn dog too many and thought,
I'm still finishing this. And
it's the only way I'm going to learn.
And I'm going to clean off the batter that's dried on the stick.
That's
as
the best
well.
Part. Like, attacking it like it's corn on the cob.
That's right.
Yeah, the cops were able to discover this corn dog and then determine that it had been purchased across the street at the Quickstar gas station.
Uh-huh, and say, hey, hello there.
Hello there.
Do you guys know anything about these people?
So, yeah, they were able to go look at the video camera, and they found Brian Yonker, Miranda Linder, and Katie Kelly all making a purchase of this corn dog. I guess it took the three of them to this is like a family corn dog they were going to enjoy before they sold a statue of the Blessed Mother. As officers were returning to the police precinct, they spotted two of the suspects outside a home right across the street from the cop shop there in Wausau.
Mm-hmm.
They instantly admitted to stealing the statue.
Nice and convenient.
It was returned to the church, and all three suspects have apologized for the theft. The church does not plan to press charges. I got a feeling that's not the last time you're going to hear those three knuckleheads' names. And those were your top five things.
The Top Five Things podcast. If you'd like to reach out to it, use the Uncle Norm's Fireworks text line, 470-23-NACHO. Uncle Norm's Fireworks. The other guys are going to pack up after the 4th of July, and they're gone. Not Uncle Norm's. Uncle Norm's Fireworks is family-owned, and they live locally. The Milan store is open year-round by appointment. So if that means you've got some sort of big event that's happening in October or November or December, well, you can get a hold of them. Call 563-349-2398 or 563-320-0897. Why would you drive to Missouri or anywhere else? Uncle Norm's has the largest inventory in the area with the best prices and the best product guarantee. And again, the Davenport store is going to be located at the Mississippi Valley Fairgrounds, and that's opening on June 13th, and the Milan store opening on June 1st. The podcast originating from the Capriotti Sandwich Shop Studio. sandwiches, soups, and salads.
Which
cold?
You just gunnered there a little bit.
And hot subs, I did.
I feel good.
I feel good. Boy, it's got a dark out.
She's gunnered.
Cap specials, including the Bobby Turkey Cranberry Sauce, homemade stuffing, and mayo, voted the greatest sandwich in America. Get one on at their store on 53rd Street in Davenport and 4640 First Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. And make sure you turn your favorite Campriotti sandwich into a combo with a chip and a medium drink. And mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one.
Got a text here on the Uncle Norm's text line. It says, are you saying it's unreasonable we're scared of spiders? Yeah, most spiders, yes. I think that's unreasonable. I mean, obviously, if you're in like an old barn, you should keep an eye out for like a brown recluse, right?
Uh-huh.
But like, if a spider's in your house, it's fine. Like a little wolf spider, that's nothing. That's nothing to be afraid of.
And the spiders from Mars.
What about the spiders? Speaking of little pests, a mother has created a...
You little mothers.
You little mothers. I know you're a little sore from the ride up.
Why would you be sore from the ride up?
Well, they went to Camp Bottomoat. They're in Ontario. Camp Bottomoat. Harvey Bassey. Be watching that here pretty soon.
Oh, you got an hour?
It's our annual thing. Every Memorial Day weekend, yeah. we watch Oddballs.
Memorial Day weekend. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Well, this mom discovers that two of her young sons were bitten by ticks and developed Lyme disease as a result.
Not good.
No. And I read an article this morning that West Nile is becoming more and more prevalent in Illinois and Iowa. There was a death last year of West Nile disease in Iowa.
That's not a Chicago high school, is it?
Lyme disease?
No, West Nile.
That's not bad.
Huh?
No.
That's not a school.
No. Fighting pharaohs? Yeah. No. Mom discovers that her kids have Lyme disease. So then she thinks, well, what do I do about this? She develops an all-natural tick spray that is showing promise in tests.
Yeah, but okay, so that takes care of the ticks from this point forward. But what happens about the guys that already have the Lyme disease?
No, her kids are screwed forever. But I don't care about her kids. I'm worried about my kid.
Yeah, I get that. But soccer, that doesn't help her kids.
Well, screw her kids. Their Lyme disease means that we got a cure, potentially. It's a all-natural product.
Is there such a thing as key Lyme disease?
Now, that would be something else.
You know what I've got? I got a bad case of key Lyme disease.
Can't stop sucking on my bug bites. It's so salty.
I rub meringue on it.
Thought I get to be such a citrus dream. All natural spray combines lemongrass, witch hazel, jojoba oil, and water. Yeah.
I think that would be good for our beards.
Tick repellent. And they're saying this thing works like nobody's business. So you take a look at that if you were worried about ticks this year. I know I am. How about this? Another story of people that don't understand how wild animals work. Family of five goes to a safari park.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
You know what your beard is starting to remind me of?
What's that?
You kind of look like Teddy Ruspin.
The bear
that reads kids' stories?
Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
My name is Teddy Ruxpin. I could see it.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a shot.
Oh, no, I take it as the compliment it's intended as. So this family is visiting a safari park on Thursday. This is in the Netherlands. Okay, you understand what a safari park is. You drive your car through where the wild animals are at.
Yeah.
And they decide, let's get out of the car and talk to the cheetahs.
I'm guessing there's probably signs everywhere that say, stay in your car. Huh? Even in the Netherlands. You gotta love the Dutch.
Yeah, but this is a special kind of stupid. They make it very clear on signs that you are strictly forbidden from going outside and talking to the animals. And yeah, the mother and father are seen picking up their young children and fleeing for safety as these cheetahs surround them.
Oh, you let the kids out,
too. Oh, yeah, they got little kids.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, let's get
cheetahs,
out.
Cheetahs love. That's their favorites. The ones, the little ones that whose bones aren't even developed yet.
This is from Good Morning America.
I'm going to get as close as possible to the animals, but one family decided to make themselves a little too close to a family of cheetahs. Exactly. A family of five decided to get out of their car when they were suddenly surrounded by cheetahs, the fastest meat eaters on the planet. And watches the
fastest meat eaters on the planet. Children,
but thank goodness,
that's something to remember.
She managed to stay cool,
calm,
got herself and her baby back into the car safely. And I'm sure the cheetahs ran up and said, "What are you guys doing out here?"
Oh, Michael Strahan, why can't you be eaten by cheetahs? The point is,
and they would eat him faster than anybody else.
Fastest
meat eating. So he means fastest running, not the fat. They eat the fastest.
You give a cheetah ribs, and they will clean a full rack in a second,
quicker than anybody.
Oh, and no waste. Oh, you ever seen a cheetah at a wing eating contest? Something else. We were in another part of the state recently, and I don't know if they still have it in Moline. Do they still have the Hardee's Red Burrito combo?
You see those
all over Illinois, but not really here in the Quad Cities.
Is there one maybe in, as you get closer to East Moline?
Well, that's
There's one that's like in outside of Knoxville.
Yeah, right. I'm talking about Quad City
proper. I don't know for sure.
It's not as big here. Like, we were in Peoria a couple of weekends ago.
And they've got a Red Burrito.
Hardee's slash Red Burrito.
Yes.
And Jenny was like, "What is that?" I go, they have that. It's like a combo where you get Red Burrito, they have Mexican food, and then they have Hardee's. She's like, "Well, have you ever tried that?" I go, "We did a contest years ago at one."
We try it?
And we almost killed a bunch of people.
We're serving. So that one might still be a Red Burrito. That one.
That's the only one I could think of.
That'd be the only one. Yes, we were serving made-to-order piping hot burritos that we were force-feeding people to eat as fast as they could, and they were scalding themselves.
That's when we met Uncle Milky, right?
That's when we met Uncle Milky.
Now, Uncle Milky has reached out. He wants to launch his own podcast.
Right.
And he's like, "Guys, help me out with this podcast." Uh-huh. I'm like, "I don't know what question you're asking."
Yes.
I answered him saying, "Hey, let us know if we can help you, but I don't know. I'm not sure what help we can provide."
Yeah.
But eventually there's going to be an Uncle Milky
podcast.
Now, we saw him when we did a remote at Gunchy's.
Okay, yes.
And Uncle Milky had lost like...
half of him.
400 pounds or something ridiculous.
Maybe more than half of him.
Yeah. So Uncle Milky has made some decisions that he would like to... some healthy
decisions.
Well,
he's probably done eating those boiling hot burritos.
Oh, God.
I don't know why we thought it was necessary to make them to order.
Well, that wasn't we our idea.
That's true. It wasn't our idea.
That was a stupid promotion that we got suckered into doing. Like a lot of them.
Like most of them.
Yeah. I don't know if there were any promotions that I thought were good ideas other than the ones I came up with. Just saying.
That's very Teddy Ruxpin.
Hi, boys and girls. What do you think is the heaviest object on planet Earth? The heaviest object on planet Earth.
The heaviest object.
Yeah, it was 116 billion pounds. Number 10 on the list. There's only one thing in America.
It's natural. You mean naturally made?
No, not naturally made. Well, yeah, like a mountain would be. No, this would be.
I mean, a mountain's got to weigh a lot.
This would be something that we made as human beings.
We made.
Yes. What is the heaviest? And see, and I don't understand how this is even considered an object. Okay, Lunchman Dingo says Oprah Winfrey. Come on, Lunchman.
She fluctuates.
You know, she just loves bread. Oh, well, God bless. The Washington Monument, the only American thing on this list of the top 10 heaviest objects on Earth.
Really? The Washington Monument?
Well, Washington Monument weighs 162.2 million pounds.
I wouldn't
have
guessed
that. The heaviest object on Earth.
Pentagon.
No, that's a building.
Oh, okay. That's not an object?
No. Number 9 on the list is the submerged communication cable that's under the oceans. There are freight trains that weigh more than the Washington Monument. An aircraft carrier comes in at number 7.
Sure. That would have been a good guess, carrier.
Number 3 on the list is the Great Pyramid of Khufu in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
Weighs 12 billion pounds.
That's big.
The Three Gorges Dam in China weighs 20.8 billion pounds. Mm. So what is the heaviest object in the world?
The Hoover Dam.
No, it's the Great Wall of China.
Oh, sure.
I mean, of course, oh, sure, but I don't think of the Great Wall of China. I'm with you. I don't think of that as an object.
But I guess How is that different than the Pentagon?
Well, that's a good point. Well, because the Great Wall is a wall. It's not really a building.
Well, okay, I didn't know that, but a building's not technically an object? It's a thing. Is a building not a thing?
Yeah.
Everything's a thing.
Well.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, man, that's a t-shirt, man. That's going to be the new It Is What It Is.
Everything's a thing.
Get rid of It Is What It Is. Someone happens to work like, yeah, so I guess we got to stay late on Thursday. Yeah. Everything's a thing. All right, that's it. That's the new saying for 2018. Everybody, we're done with It Is What It Is. We really have been done for quite some time, but this is officially what we replaced that with. Everything is a thing. All right. I guess we have to end it there.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I've got... Well, let me do one more.
All right, give one me one more. Give me
this,
one more.
This is kind of a sad story, though.
Well, then don't give it to me.
All right. How about a funny story?
Yeah, do a funny story.
Well, it's not really... Not
I'd like to end on a sad note.
If I could add on a sad note...
I would appreciate
it. Elderly people are dying in massive numbers in the United States because of keyless automobiles.
Why is that?
Well, see, and I'm just saying this so you know this, and maybe...
Because I have a keyless automobile.
Okay, but this...
Well, it's not...
Keyless... Yeah. Right. Keyless ignitions.
Keyless ignition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, every automobile... I used the wrong term there.
Yeah.
Keyless ignitions have been blamed for at least 28 deaths.
What's happening?
So these old people get home.
Yeah.
And they don't realize
it's
that they've
running?
Left the car running.
Well, it's...
And then the carbon monoxide from their engine running
kills
them. This guy...
But how's that kill them if they're in their house?
Well, I mean, the carbon monoxide can go from the...
Oh, I guess the garage.
From the
parking
garage.
In the garage.
Right.
Yeah.
You park in the garage.
Yeah.
This guy says, after 75 years of driving, my father thought when he took the key with him, when he left the car, the
that
car
means,
would be off.
Yeah, right.
It's not how it works.
No. You gotta push it again to stop it.
Died from carbon monoxide poisoning after accidentally leaving the keyless ignition car running in a garage. 40 other people have been injured, some of them with brain damage so severe that they struggled to perform everyday tasks. So when the button, instead of a key to turn off the engine, some drivers, especially people that drive cars with quieter models...
Right. See, that's
you know,
what I have.
Engines,
mine is so quiet, sometimes I don't realize it's on.
Well, then good. I'm glad we're having this talk.
Well, you know what this is?
I don't want to have to fight another Darren.
It's not a big fun... It's not real funny, but you know what this is? Sounds to me like a public service announcement.
This is a public service
announcement.
Yeah, they're saying that, that they want to... There should be some sort of...
And these old people are hurting.
Well, you can't tell... I mean, with all the chips in cars, you can't tell the car, look, if it's running for more than 20 minutes...
To turn off? Yeah.
How hard is that to do?
How can that not be a safety feature?
That's what I don't know.
Irons do that. I mean...
Excellent point. An iron should have more safety things than
an automobile.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point. That's a great point.
And that was a public service announcement.
All right. Well, yeah, if you have an elderly parent or a Darren in your life...
Take their cars away.
Well, I mean, you've done things like, you know, throw away your car keys.
Yeah. Yeah, that... I don't know.
And I could see walking away if the car wasn't loud enough.
Yes, and that's what I... And that and I'm better at it now, but when I first got the vehicle, it's like, oh, wait, this... Because it's so quiet, it's like, oh, this is still actually on.
That's too quiet.
Too quiet.
You got a hybrid or something? Or
too quiet. No, it's not a hybrid.
It's just really quiet?
It's just quiet.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I know that's not hilarious, but...
And that was a public service announcement.
That's it for Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. When
We're back on Wednesday.
We'll be back on Wednesday.
The Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast has originated from the Capriati Sandwich Shop Studio. Taste the Capriati's difference. Only the very best and freshest ingredients guaranteed. Oven roasted in the shop daily. A great idea for any graduation party that you have. Get a hold of Capriati's and they can take care of you, including Capriati's signature homemade meatballs. Have that meatball bar. It's made from scratch daily and simmered in a classic marinara sauce. Every meatball bar comes with sliced provolone, Romano cheese, and baked rolls. If you're just there for lunch or dinner, make sure you mention Nacho Radio and get a medium sub for the price of a small one at Capriati's. And don't forget their delicious soups, including turkey chili, tomato bisque, clam chowder, chicken noodle, and chicken tortilla at Capriati's on 53rd Street and 4641st Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. We'll see you guys on Wednesday.
See you then. Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy, Quad Cities.
It's a public service announcement. For those that don't want to participate in that smokeout, smoke all the cigarettes you want. Because they're taking our rights away and everything else, so what's next? I think we've had enough. We've got to stand up like we used to do in the 70s and protest. And so we can smoke in bars and have our rights back. Because these poor bar owners are hurting. And this has been a public service announcement from Amazing Larry.